Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Aha Moments Radio Show for the inspiration, education, and celebration of enlightened living worldwide with your host, Mariana Cooper, founder of Aha Moments International and ahamomentsworld.com. Tune in for the next hour and learn to trust your aha moments to lead the way to live a passionate and purposeful life. And now here's your host, Mari.
Hello there. Welcome to the Aha Moments Radio Show for the inspiration, education, and celebration of enlightened living worldwide. I'm Mari. Happy Tuesday. And fall is in full swing. I can't believe we're already into November. It has just been a whirlwind year for me. I'm not sure about you, but we're winding down, and I'm actually kind of excited about that. We just finished daylight saving. Well, just turned away from daylight savings time, which is really sad because the sun is setting right now, and usually I'm there watching it. But it's an hour earlier now. I just realized that today. And it's so funny, as I was waiting to hear my cue to start speaking, I was listening to the music for the show, and I got lost in the music, and then I was like, oh, wait, it went silent. What happened? I was like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to start talking. So here I am. And today we have a very popular topic I can see from all of you who are calling in, and that is the top five ways to handle toxic people energetically. And I think everyone has been exposed to working with or living with or being friends with somebody who's not for their best interest, where the relationship is really not for, you know, it's not working. And it's funny, it's been on my mind a lot lately. And how do you deal with these types of things without flipping the apple cart, right? I mean, you can't go after everybody in a big confrontation, you know, Real Housewives style. Sometimes you do have to be more finesse. Sometimes you just can't walk away from certain people in your life where to the point where you just cut them off. And sometimes if you cut off every single person that's harassing you, bugging you, you won't have anybody to talk to for a really long time. So there are many different ways to, way more than five, but we're going to talk about five of the real good ones to work with these types of situations energetically. And I think personally it's the best and healthiest way to do it. Most of the time, the reason why these people, or all the time, the reason why these people are in our lives is to help us to get to a new level, to stand up for ourselves, to overcome certain things, to, you know, see, you know, the other side of the coin, all kinds of different reasons why they're in our lives. And I know from doing so many readings, especially this year, I've done a lot of readings. A lot of people call me and they want to know how they can make a person do this or how long they have to wait for a person to do that or, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, if that person wasn't doing this to me, then my life would be fine. Or if that person wasn't doing this to me, then I could be happy. And so we're going to address those kinds of things today because those are actually very counterproductive ways to think, especially about toxic folks in your life. And when you do things like that, you really are getting yourself into a kind of a never-ending cycle. So we're going to get to that in a second. First, we're going to do our aha energy check. So that is that we have a waxing moon right now. So we're going to towards a full moon. And so that's a very good thing because we're going to have, you know, it's a good time for manifesting. Mercury retrograde is long gone now. And we are in the, you know, throws a fall harvest, getting ready for time of gratitude with Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. And, you know, so we're going to, but, you know, with Thanksgiving and with Christmas also comes family, and then we have maybe some toxic issues there. So we'll get into that, like I said, in a few minutes. But for now, the energy is in a good place. You should go full, you know, full force with everything you're trying to do. And just relax into that because we're in a good spot. We don't have another Mercury retrograde until end of January, so that's good. As far as what's going on in aha moments, we have readings. I have four, maybe three spots left. I can't remember. I know some people registered since I made that announcement, but we have just a few spots left for 2014 at 2014 rates. Now, contrary to years gone by, my rates are going up in 2015. They're not going to be, there's not going to be like a big, you know, fire sale or anything at the beginning of the year. So this is the some of the shadows of the 2014 rate. And so if you'd like to get a session, you can go to ahamomentsworld.com/buy-the-sea, because these are angel messages by the sea. So B-Y-T-H-E-S-E-A. ahamomentsworld.com/buy-the-sea. And we will, you'll get, you know, once you pay, you get the time link and everything, we sort out, you'll get your appointment and then we move on from there. Also with those readings, you get a pre and post recording to prep you for the reading and also to finish off the reading on the other end so you continue to get information. Very, very powerful. We get a tremendous amount out in 30 minutes and really it's a good way to go. The other thing that I've been up to is we are booking now. We just opened registration for our Open to Channeling class in January. So we're going to be doing that January to February. It's a 7-week course for the advanced light worker. We have a session going on now. There's only 12 spots for these classes. They're very, very intensive, and they are with information. And so we have open early registration for that. And you can go to, I know I had gotten emails from you guys listening to the radio show because I think I've mentioned it and I hadn't given out a link. But now we are registering, so you don't even have to be, we had a waiting list for that class. So they're kind of starting to register already. But if you'd like to get in on the class, you're welcome to. And you can check that out at ahamomentsworld.com/channel, C-H-A-N-N-E-L. And that's really so that you can get a very personal two-way conversation going with your own personal guide, learning who they are, learning how to open up your energy to receive that information and how to do both written and verbal channeling. Very, very powerful skill for you personally. And if you happen to be in the profession of healing or in artwork, do art or singing or anything where you have to create, be super creative, this is an amazing course for that. Because when you're channeling energy into your creativity, it takes a whole different direction. Also, if you're writing a book or thinking about writing a book, if you do business planning or strategies, very, very, very good course for you. Very applicable to real world everyday life, and I highly suggest it. It's been amazing. I do have a big outline on that page, but the guides have already gone off the outline because they sort out the group and what the group needs, and then we kind of go off into other spheres and levels. And so it's been really, really fun and very enlightening even for me. I said, they didn't say that before. I haven't heard that one come through before, so they channel the whole thing. It's very, very cool. Okay, so that's going to start in, I think, January 15th, but we're doing a short registration period because we need to get it booked. I did sell my book public. We're just finishing inking the deal this week. I'll be able to announce next week probably what publisher it is. And so once that is signed, then my schedule goes absolutely through the roof because now they want me to work with their editors and finish up the book so they can get it out to the world. So my time is going to kind of be eaten up with that. So just wanted to, that's one of the reasons I'm bringing up all this stuff for the new year so we can get ahead of the game. All right. So, of course, a lot of you are waiting for the possibility of asking a question tonight on the line. So if you'd like to ask a question, the number to call in is 347-215-9485. So that's 347-215-9485. And I'm being guided to say, if you can, there's so many of you on the line, if you get called on for, you know, okay, if you get chosen for a question, my words are going, please be specific and just ask one question. A lot of times people like to say, what do you see around my romance? And that's just for a radio show, it's just too much. We have, about a minute. So If you can just keep it fairly specific and something maybe that would benefit the whole audience, that would be awesome. All right, 347-215-9485. So we'll get to those in a little bit. Okay, so let's get into this whole toxic people conversation. I think this is always a very popular topic. I have talked about this on the show in the past. It's an ever-evolving topic because I think as you go through, if you have the courage to change, make changes in your life, you're always going to, it really does shine kind of the light on who's by your side and who's not. And you really do, when you're making big changes, and that's, you know, finding the awesome, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend, making, you know, a big move in your career, you know, moving like I did across the country, you know, success things like, you know, publishing a book or getting your own TV show or starting your own business or getting a promotion at your job, or getting a job, a lot of times the people that you think are going to be there by your side kind of fall by the wayside and they're not there, or they change very strangely, and I put strangely in air quotes, or, you know, they just disappear. And that can be really disconcerting. And I know that when we're not going to talk about this much on this show, but one of the things that I work with entrepreneurs, I did a lot of consulting with entrepreneurs and both marketing and manifesting and helping people get their businesses off the ground and stuff. I did that for many years and had tons and tons of clients, hundreds of clients. And one of the biggest things that would hold entrepreneurs back from making big moves in their lives was that they were afraid they were going to lose the people that were in their lives. They were afraid that if they got too big or they got too successful or they made a jump, that they were going to be leaving some people behind. People wouldn't really, you know, what are they going to think of me? Will they still, if I hit the lottery, will my friends still be my friends? You know, if I, you know, do super well, if I do something that's really a dream come true, if I make it on, you know, Project Runway, or if I try out for, you know, audition for that dance company, or if I, you know, open my own art gallery or any of these, anything, even, you know, I'm talking about, you know, somewhat what people would consider to be bigger things, but those big dreams that if we do that, who are we going to leave behind? Are we going to be alone in our success? Are we going to be supported? Are we going to have to give everything we have earned away so that we can still be in good favor with everyone? You know, you may not start off thinking that way, you know, when you're in your 20s and you're first starting out and the world is your oyster and, you know, you're invincible, you go for it and you don't really give a thought to that. But once you've had a success and then you've had people react surprisingly negatively to it, it makes you gun shy for the next time. And that sometimes can be the people who are absolutely the closest to you, which is always very disconcerting as well, because you expect, okay, well, when I used to teach my entrepreneurs, I would always say that, especially the ones who were working on, you know, finding your passion and right livelihood and all that stuff, and they would say, I have this great idea, and I'm going to run it by my friends and family, and I'd say, stop. They're the last people to hear about the great idea. Do you want to talk about your great idea to strangers who've already done it? You want to talk to people about your great new idea? You want to incubate that idea. You want to incubate it from anything that would set you off and make you stop. And most of the time when you have people around you who are very close to you, if you're going to go off and do something really big and different, it's going to affect their lives. And they're dependent on you staying the same, because then that allows them to stay the same. And when that happens and you decide, you know what, I can't do this anymore, I can't stay the same anymore, it's time for me to make my leap, when you do that, then it makes all of the dominoes fall for everyone else who you're interconnected with. So a lot of times they'll react in a really negative way or in a passive-aggressive way or in an oppressive way or in a, you know, frenemy kind of a way. And we'll talk about some of those in a second. And it's very painful because you're feeling vulnerable, and if there was ever a time that you needed friends and family to rally, and they know you and they know you, your vulnerabilities, and they know your intimate, you know, details about your life, if there's ever a time you really needed them to say, yeah, yeah, go, you know, it's that time. It's that time when you're taking that risk. So when you are taking risks, one of the things you really want to do is you want to find people who are already way more successful than you are at what they're doing, that's in alignment with what you want to do, because they will give you, number one, a much more realistic idea of, you know, what it takes to go beyond it, but they'll also not be threatened. So you don't get the competitiveness, you don't get the jealousy, you don't get the envy, you don't get the, you know, looking over the fence and taking stock of, you know, what are you doing, what do you have that I can have. You don't get the people that can't be happy for you unless there's something in it for them. You get somebody who's already done it. It's kind of a no-brainer to them because they've already done it. They're not really worried about you because they're so far along in what they're doing, so they're not feeling threatened by you. And that's where you kind of want to surround yourself. And that might just be one person. That might be getting in touch with a blogger who's doing something similar or an author of a book. I have a lot of friends now who are authors of books, like best-selling books. And that's because I used to read and read and read, and I'd like get really into, because I just didn't have anybody in my inner circle who could really get the idea of, like, everybody I was around was corporate. My family was very, you know, corporate-focused and day job-focused, and I was the, you know, the spiritual entrepreneur. Like, really? Like, what is that? You get a life and all those things I used to hear. And I would go and read. You know, every single day. And when I left corporate America, I made my new office Barnes & Noble. Well, at the time, it was Borders. I go to Borders every day, and I would be there for 6-7 hours at a time. And I would just read and read and read and write and write and teach myself things and read. And then, you know, on the weekends, I would be going to channeling sessions. I'd go see Lee Carroll or, you know, any of the other major channels. I'd go to workshops. I worked with Shakti Gawain and Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer and Doreen Virtue, and, you know, the list goes on and on. And I just immersed myself into research and studying and, you know, did some consulting and things to pay the bills. But I really cocooned myself because, and then I said, well, you know, I'm not getting very much support from, you know, friends and family. So I think I need to reach out to these authors. So I would, at the time, it wasn't like the internet. We didn't have like the same accessibility that we do now, where you could just go on Twitter and start tweeting with them or send them a direct message or find them on Facebook and IM them or, you know, send an email. I had to contact their publishers. And I would contact a publisher and I'd ask for the publicist and I would ask for, you know, the information to, you know, speak with this author or that author, or I would take one of their workshops, or I would sign up for a one-on-one session, and I would strike up a conversation about not just the content, but like, how do you do what you do? And I, you know, it was fascinating. We call those informational interviews, and it's really important. And I know this seems like I'm going off on a tangent. Obviously, the guides wanted this to be said. I'm not really. I'm just trying to show you from the beginning how you can find the people who are really going to be objective in your personal growth and not subjective and attached and clinging and angry and, you know, swiping you. Or as one of my friends said to me, you know, about a situation I was in myself, she said, you know, you're flying high and they're taking an Uzi and shooting you out of the air, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, whoa, you know. And you're just trying to figure out, can your wings really flap? Like, like how high are we here? And then it's like, and you're like, what? You know, wait a second. Who's shooting? What? You know, so, and that happens. It happens to me. It happens to anybody. In fact, I remember a big leap I had taken, and I started getting all kinds of criticism. It was when I did my first health summit. And, you know, when you're, you know, I expected maybe 400 people to register for that thing. I think we had, I don't know, 20,000, some insane number. I thought we were going to get registrations from 2 countries. We had registrations from 95 countries. So it just, we went, it was me and my assistant, you're trying to run this whole thing. And We had, 12 amazing speakers, and they all had enormous lists, and, you know, it was just like, boom, you know, and our links were breaking for the telephone, and I remember, like, getting all this hate mail, you know, and I was like, you know, because you get all the success, but with that success comes more critics, you know, and so your client or your audience can be this toxic situation as well. And, you know, I remember, like, you know, calling up my friend Dane, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, they hate me. He's like, and he's, like, chewing on the phone. He's like, yep, welcome to my world, you know, oh, that means you're successful. And I called Sandy Taylor, oh, my God, they hate me. Oh, she's like, yeah, welcome to my world, yep, that's what happens, you know, you're successful. And I'm like, how could, and I talked to Lee Carroll, he said the same thing. And I thought, you know, it's funny, all they're all friends and mentors and colleagues and stuff. And they all were like, that's okay, Mari, keep going, it's all right, you know. None of them said, well, it's the truth, you are a jerk. None of them said that. None of them said, well, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. Maybe you should have a day job so that you can actually, you know, have more control over your situation. None of them said that. Why? Because they're in the business, and they get it. And they knew what it felt like to go from that kind of small, limited space to that big crescendoed space where they take that big quantum leap forward. And they put themselves out there, and when you put yourself out there, you get slammed from some people, and you get embraced by others. Because, I mean, there was amazing, you know, letters and testimonials coming in, but for every 200 great letters, you know, I'd be hysterical over the two really bad ones, you know. And that's how we deal with that. So that's what, you know, we're up against. So as light workers, as enlightened entrepreneurs, as folks who really do think differently, I think that if you're even listening to this show and you've been following any of this work and you're part of our community here, you want different. You're different. You're not, the average Joe. And so, you know, a lot of times, though, you're coming up out of a group that is, you know, that's more traditional maybe, or, you know, just doesn't want the same level of things or doesn't have the same kind of thought processes. So it's very important to do a few of these things that we're going to talk about, these tools. So I'm just going to go quickly through some of the different types of toxic people. We have the dream killers. We have the game players. We have the envious ones and the jealous ones. We have the critics. We have the oppressors. We have the passive-aggressive people. We have the manipulators. We have the ones that compare and compete. And when I say that, what I mean is the ones who say, I remember saying to one gal who we're not friendly anymore, but I said, oh, you know, I'm working on this book, and then I was, you know, asked to do some magazine articles or something, and she said, oh, well, that's good for you, but I don't know how to do all that. So that wouldn't work for me. And I'm like, okay, so that wasn't really the issue. I've just said this is what I'm doing, you know, but it turned into a situation. So that's what comparing and competing is, when a person can't listen to you unless they're comparing themselves and competing with it. The frenemies, when people are your friends, but at the same time they're pulling you down, or saying, because they know your buttons, they know your vulnerabilities, and just when a lot of times they mean well, they kind of want to be happy for you, but they're so overcome with jealousy or envy or fear for themselves that they'll never, you know, get there or acquire what it is or whatever. You see this a lot when people get new boyfriends or girlfriends. You have those frenemy people. And then, of course, good old lovely family members. And not all family members, for sure, but they all have, you know, at least one that's tough. So those are the types of folks. And then here's some of the energetic things you can do to shift this. Because now, can you, you know, like I said at the top of the show, we can't kick everybody out of our lives. There are certain people that, you know, are going to be around, family members in particular, sometimes our bosses. We need to, you know, keep our jobs for a while until we can kind of, you know, reposition ourselves. You know, tough coworkers who, you know, I know in corporate, there was nothing more toxic for me than working for somebody else in a corporate setting. It was just the most diabolical structure ever. I don't know how people do it, but, you know, choice is choice. And I remember learning a lot of these techniques while I was there in corporate, because I was an executive in marketing and advertising, and that's really cutthroat. And back in the telephone wars, I worked for AT&T and many other companies as a consultant as well. And you could just see the politics were just absolutely debilitating. The first thing, and you're not going to like this one as much. I know when my friends ask me questions about this, I always say the first thing you need to change is yourself. That is, from an energetic perspective, it is the most powerful thing you can do is to shift you. And so what do I mean by that? When we are dealing with toxic people, one of the reasons why we label them toxic is because we feel we can't be happy around these people, that they don't want the best for us, et cetera, et cetera. But, and that's fine. You know, a lot of people don't want the best for me. That's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. But the ones that bother me are the ones that I attach my happiness to. So what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, there are certain people who are close to you that you want to say, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, go, 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 I'm so happy for you, and genuinely mean it. And if you don't, can't really fully embrace what you're doing because you haven't gotten that head nod. So essentially, you are attaching your happiness onto their approval. And the less toxic people, they're just reacting. The more toxic people do that on purpose because they know that you are seeking their approval. And they know that it'll hurt you if they don't give it. So, and then the ones who are even worse, the really diabolical ones, give it and then take it away. Then give it, then take it away. Like one day they're happy for you, the next day they're shooting you down. The next day they're happy for you, the next day they're shooting you down. So if you attach your willingness to be happy, which is always a choice, and I say be happy, feel good about yourself, feel worthy about yourself, feel self-love, any of those things, not just happy, but any of those positive emotions. If you attach any of that to somebody else's approval, you will be miserable for the rest of your life. This is a time, especially if you're dealing with this kind of situation, where you have to become an emotionally independent person. Talk a lot about financial independence. We talk a lot about, you know, physical independence. But emotionally independent, and now the next level, energetically independent. Oh, God, huge. When you can become energetically independent, it is, anything is possible. And what I mean by that is when somebody is dependent on you behaving a certain way, they're saying, okay, you're changing. I'm not allowed to be happy because you're changing. And if you don't stay the same, then that means that my happiness is in jeopardy, or my security, or my mask, or my crutch, or my curtain, so that I don't have to change myself, because if you don't change, then I can stay the same, because then I'm better than you anyway. But, you know, if you change, then, you know, what if you're better than me? You know, that kind of thing. So if that person, when you have that person, what they do is they put energetic cords in you because they need you. They're kind of feeding off that energy, whether it's negative, positive, stagnant, whatever it is. When you say, I'm changing, then it's like, okay, those cords are going to cut. And they are energetically dependent on your energy staying in one way. I know I've had clients where they're in a bad, you know, relationship with their spouse. And they say, oh, well, you know, he said this or she said that. And it gets them all upset. And that person likes the negative attention. They know, okay, if that person is all spinning, if I can get this person to spin and be upset all the time, that means they're invested in me. Like, have you ever had someone say, I'm worrying about you. I'm so worried. I'm so worried. And it's like, okay, so why? You know, like, I'm good. I'm good. No. I'm so worried. And, you know, you have to say, okay, well, maybe you shouldn't be worried. Maybe you should be enthusiastic. Maybe that, you know, is worry love? Is that really love? A lot of people think it is. It's really not. Worry is negative prayer. I say, stop worrying about me. You're giving me bad juju. You know, you're assuming that I don't have God in my life, that I don't have, you know, personal power, that I don't have, you know, the ability to do what I need to do. And that word worry is just not, it's not conducive to anything. It's really not a positive word. So anyway, when you have this kind of situation going on, you end up with cords in each other. We call these energetic cords. We call them negative cords. And you have a positive cord and you have a negative cord. So the positive ones, you know, it's that energetic exchange that's positive. It's nourishing and it's uplifting. But the negative ones are the drain cords. And we all have them. And so one of the first things you can do is to cut your cords. Now, there's all different kinds of ways. Some of them is in mystery school. That, you know, they have a big old ceremonial kind of ritualistic way. But, you know, Doreen Virtue, I think, had one of the best ways, which was to have Archangel Michael cut your cords. And you just say, you know, Archangel Michael, can you please come with your sword and cut the cords? And you will see a sword. You can, you know, envision this sword coming down and cutting the energetic cords from you and whatever toxic person you choose. And you can ask him to pull the cords out from the roots. So then you'll kind of look like Swiss cheese. You can then ask Archangel Raphael to fill in those Swiss cheese holes from those cords with a green healing gel. So you're kind of sealing them up, sealing yourself, and calling your energy back to you, kind of containing your energy and not allowing someone to feed off of it. This, when you focus in that way and you start to take stock of your energetic hygiene, your energetic safety, and your energetic boundaries, okay, what you start to create is a level of energetic independence. And people can feel that. A lot of women, I do readings on the Best Psychic Directory. You can go to, if you want a quick reading, you don't have to wait for, you know, 4 months. You can potentially get me there during the week, bestpsychicdirectory.com. But when I do readings over there, a lot of people call me about relationships. And it's stunning to hear how many people are really energetically dependent on each other. Now, I'm not talking about just the financially, you know, am I paying for him this, or the, you know, the physically, you know, I won't have a roof on my head if he doesn't pay my bills. But energetic stuff, you know, is he thinking about me? Is she thinking about me? Tell me, is she thinking about me? That's energetic codependence, because that's that feeling of I can't breathe unless I know this person is connected. And a lot of times when someone goes off with someone else, they disconnect energetically. You're just not on their radar. And you feel it. People feel it. So when you choose to disconnect energetically with someone, which is not a bad thing, especially if they're, you know, toxic in some way to you, cutting your cords is one of the best things you can do energetically. And quite frankly, you can do that by asking right before you go to sleep each night, cut the cord. You can also, the second thing is, let me just back up. When you say cut my cords, you know, you're about to go to sleep, you lay down in your bed, you say, okay, Archangel Michael, can you please cut any and all cords that are in me, both consciously and unconsciously, you know, to any people who are draining on my energy, and help me to become more energetically independent, more energetically self-sufficient, so that I can rely on, you know, the power of the infinite, my infinite self of God, the powers that be, the God of your understanding, however you want to call it, and so that I am, you know, fully whole. You can also, the second thing you can do is call your energy back to yourself at night. So for me, after doing a gazillion readings and shows and, you know, dealing with all my personal stuff, and when I go to sleep at night, I call back all of my energy from all directions of time through what I call a cheesecloth, through filters. So you use like a big cheesecloth, like a big piece of cloth that has little tiny holes in it, like a strainer. And you're calling your energy back through that strainer. So anything that was attached, anything, any needy energy, any, you know, toxic energy that was attached to your energy, you filter that out, but you pull all of the love energy in and you pull all of your own energy back. Okay. And that, you'll sleep so much better when you do that. One of the things that happens for people is they get really fragmented, because every time something happens, good or bad, a piece of your energy goes with it. So the person who insults you, you know, you insult them back, and some of your energy goes there. Like you've just, you know, or you've just spent 2 hours on the phone helping somebody with an issue. A lot of your energy has gone in that direction. You've just, you know, dealt with your kids, you know, and they're fighting with their siblings, or, you know, you had an issue with school and you had to go to the PTA and deal with the principals and the chancellors and whatever. Energy goes there. You're at the grocery store and somebody cuts you off in traffic. Your energy goes there. You're fragmented. It's like having a computer that's fragmented. When you have that happening, you feel really drained and you feel very, like, shallow. You know, you don't feel whole. You feel kind of vapory, kind of shadowy. It's the way you can tell when you've been energetically zapped or when you're depleted. You know, it's like physical fatigue, but more energy oriented. So, and what you can do is just call your energy back to yourself. And that's what you want to do each night. You want to say, I want to be whole. When you go to sleep, you want all of you there. There's a lot that happens in your sleep. You know, you have energetic teachers who work with you in the dream state. You get insight, you know, you get all kinds of, you're sorting through and sifting through all those things during the day. You're problem solving, you're healing, your body is healing, you're replenishing. There's a tremendous amount going on when you're asleep. So part of the reason, like a lot of people have insomnia too, is that they're not fully back with themselves. So there's like this kind of awakeness because they know some part of themselves is missing. I want to just say I call back all parts of myself in all directions of time through filters and complete myself to whole. And you can ask your angels to help you with that. Archangel Michael, again, is wonderful for calling back your energy, for retrieving your energy. Okay, and that helps so much because when you're whole energetically, the whole toxic people thing doesn't have anywhere near an effect. But imagine it. If you didn't take a shower and you didn't brush your teeth and you never washed your hair and you went through this for, you know, 30, 40 years of your lifetime and you never did any kind of hygienic anything, you'd be pretty messy. And that's what a lot of people are energetically. So then you go and you take all of that and you put it into a situation that's, you know, challenging. And then you don't have any leg to stand on because you're just so depleted before you even get started. So when you start to do this kind of maintenance, really, really helps so that you're going into each situation whole and you're going into each situation with all of your energetic receptors in place and protected. Okay, so one of the ways that you can protect yourself, and this is one of my favorite ways, is to surround yourself in, you know, white light. Now, a lot of you have heard that. I find that I know people who do really, 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 really into shielding, protecting, and this and that, and they shield so much that they block out everything. And one of the things I learned in as I was doing my studies is, again, similar to the thing we're just talking about, you don't want to block out every single piece of energy there is. So when you do a ball of light, like you're going into a work situation or a family holiday, you know, where you know, like, that cousin so-and-so is going to be there, and, you know, or, you know, Papa so-and-so, Mama so-and-so, Uncle so-and-so, Auntie so-and-so, they're going to be there, and it gets intense, you know, and everybody has these very bucolic ideas of how the holiday should be. Very few people have holidays that look exactly like it's portrayed on TV. And so one of the things you can do before you go is to fortify your energy by putting a big ball of white light around yourself, but allowing, now, if you're not going to a really harsh situation, you want to put mirrors around yourself. So you have a ball of light, like the mirror ball trophy on Dancing with the Stars. And I got tickets to that, by the way, you guys. I'm so excited. The energy bounces off the mirror and goes back to the person. You can just say, return to sender with consciousness. Okay, so you just return it to sender, or you can say, I return this energy back to its sender with love, or just return the energy back to sender to do whatever it needs to do to the sender, but you are bouncing energy back towards the person who's sending it. You can do that with mirrors. You can also, I found sometimes though, if you do the mirrors, the good stuff kind of can't come through, so then you find that you're feeling protected. But then you're also feeling kind of lonely because you're not open to receive the good stuff. So you can also do that with, you know, to sort of evaluate your situation. If you're feeling really under siege, then by all means mirrors. If you're not, then you might want to do a big ball of energy, but let it be more like fabric oriented, like that strainer we're talking about. White light, you can even do pink light if you want to soften it a little bit, and then bounce the energy back. Just bounce it back and allow the good stuff to come through the filter. So you're still getting fortified. One of my other energetic things, and this is more from the, you know, kind of old world direction, is there's plenty of different types of herbs and foods that are protective. And so when you ingest them, you have an extra layer of protection in your energy. Artichokes are one of them. And it was funny because my friend has a beautiful garden here at her house in California, and she served artichokes. And it was the first time I ever had, like, fresh artichokes. I didn't even know how artichokes grew. I just thought they were in the grocery store, you know, one of those. And then she had this big, huge artichoke bush. And, excuse me, I had my first, you know, artichokes all steamed and with herbs and God knows what. And I was obsessed with these artichokes. Every week I was buying artichokes and I was asking her to teach me how to cook them, and I was texting her, you know, and I was still in New Jersey and I was buying artichokes. I think I even still have artichokes in my refrigerator now. And I finally just went to my book and looked up why I was so into them. And sure enough, they were for protection. So I said, that's interesting. So even if you have a bowl of them sitting on your, you know, kitchen table or whatever, it's a symbol of protection. Mint tea is one of the other ones that's really good. And when I was in corporate, this is awesome, especially for meanie bully women. Mint tea, if you have a cup of mint tea on your desk, the mint is a protector and it also repels negative energy. So it was funny because when I had a boss I really didn't like, I'd always get a big cup of mint tea and I'd stick it on my desk and leave the lid off, and she would sort of come in, but she would stand at the threshold of the door. She would never quite step into my office, and I'd always chuckle to myself and keep replenishing the mint tea. So hot or cold, but I think hot worked better for whatever reason. Okay, and then finally I'm going to just do one more, and then we'll start looking at going towards some reading. This is a combination type of thing. One of the other things you can do energetically to pull energy, a lot of times we think about repelling energy, but one good way, and Dane taught me this, I can't take credit for it, I always like to do credit where credit is due, but one really good way that I've found is when somebody's coming at you, they're yelling, they're upset, whatever, instead of blocking, because we usually brace ourselves and we get tense and tight, that's only a physical ailment and thing, allow the energy to go all the way through you. So instead of, like, blocking it at you, say, okay, I'm going to just open myself up and it's just going to whoosh all the way through my body, just all the way through. And it completely dissipates the strength and the power of it. And it's really, really amazingly powerful technique, really amazing tool. So it's called pulling energy, and you can literally just allow the energy to go all the way through you instead of trying to bounce it back off of you. And as I think about it, I think that works even better than the mirror ball thing. But they have different, you know, different times and different, you know, places and different purposes. So you can use your own judgment with that. But those are some of the top ways. Like I said, I could probably do a whole week of shows about this stuff. But I wanted to just have you to start thinking a little differently about how you handle people in your life. And start with the energetics first. A lot of times it will dissipate so much that you won't have to address it in the physical. Or when you do address it in the physical, you'll get much more insight and a much more productive, constructive way of dealing with it than, like, just the, you know, the he said, she said, tit for tat, you know, all that stuff. All right. So, wow, Sam, I can't believe I talked that long. I guess we're going to do readings. I guess we'll skip the break. We can get a couple of calls in here. So if you'd like to call in, 347-215-9485. And we have plenty of you on the line already, so we are going to go ahead and take the first caller, and that would be Sherelle in Detroit. Hi, Sherelle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine, thanks for taking my call. And for you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And for your lovely host, or whoever that pre-screening the show.
Oh, wait, I didn't hear you. What did you just say?
I said thank you for you and your host for taking my call.
Oh, okay. that would be Sam, my producer, yep.
Oh, Sam, okay. Let him I say thank you.
I had
you.
A question for you.
Okay.
I was calling about finance. Do you see my finance or a job coming soon? I've been applying for a job over a year and nothing hasn't called me back or anything. Actually, I was doing the application right now as we speak. And my birthday this month. So do you see like any finances or anything increasing?
You know, I think that the strategy that you've been using is more like I have to just be able to pay my bills. But I think you're really, you have very light, bright energy. You have a lot of angels around you. It's very interesting. Very, very light and bright energy.
So.
Yeah, you do. You really do.
I'll be trying to connect and contact, and I don't see you here.
And they're saying, yeah, they're right there with you. They absolutely are right there with you. And so there's two things they're saying. One is that you need something that's more creative, and you're not going for a job that's creative enough for you. So I don't know what that means, but, you know, play with that. And then the other thing is they don't want you to be more so focused on just bills. They want you to focus on what's going to make your heart sing. And I know that sounds like counterintuitive when you're thinking, okay, I got to get a job because I have to pay bills. But what will help you more is to say, okay, how can I contribute and make more money than I know what to do with that makes my heart really sing? What can I do that makes my heart really sing? Now, you can play with that as well. But the thing that they're saying is on the other side of the holidays, you might hear something to begin with before the holidays from something. But it may be
that
like
be
the job that you... oh gosh, we're really close, aren't we? I'm asking. somewhere between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you'll probably hear something. And then on the other side of the new year, like somewhere by, you know, January 15th through the 30th, something in there, it'd feel more like, you know, solid where you'll land something. But don't be afraid to do some volunteer work or some help at the church or something, because it feels like the job that you get is not going to be necessarily an internet-based type of thing, but something that somebody offers you because you've been so kind and so, you know, helpful in some other way. Okay, so,
you know, I was planning on volunteering at a hospital, but I'm just like, because I just recently went to a hospital last month, but I asked them about their volunteer service, but I'm like, okay, I'm in school, then I have homework, then I got tons of projects to do, so I couldn't have that on my, a lot of, you know, on my head, and currently I'm working too, so work, school, homework, projects, that would be a
you're
lot.
You're really busy. Well, the volunteer work, even if it was like 1 or 2 hours a week, would lead, there feels like there's somebody who's going to also be volunteering or somebody's going to take notice and there's going to be a job that comes up out of that. And so I'm glad that you're already in that zone. The angels are never wrong. And they're kind of flying right around you. I'm going to just tell you the name of an angel, and then I'm going to have to jump off because I have to get to the next caller.
Okay,
Archangel
fine.
Shamuel,
Shamuel.
Shamuel. He is for life purpose, new jobs, and also for true love. So you can talk to him about the job first and then the love thing next. All right.
As I was speaking, now would that be in the hospital wise or just volunteering period?
I think volunteering period.
Okay.
So
I know my teacher
was
telling me that too. That might be a message for me too.
I think so.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to have to go. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Take care. Have a great night. Good luck with everything. Okay, next we have, Jesse in Maryland. Hi, Jesse, are you there?
I'm here. I'm here, and I've been listening, and it's great. I mean, I really, everything you're saying is just validating me more, and I can't even explain the feeling that I'm having about, like, it's just, it's like, not, it's beyond, it's kind of beyond hope, but I mean, I wrote this thing down for you, and I was like, this is right, and this is right, and this is right, you know. But I was calling initially about a relationship, you know, and I think, you know, what I'm trying to say is I'm at this place. Today was an amazing day. I kind of feel like I'm at that emotional independence, and I'm also seeing a bit more clearly what, you know, what people's agendas are, or if they have agendas. And I've been dating this guy for 3 years, and I've kind of hit this home point where you were saying the blocking technique. Well, literally was texting. At first I had blocked him because I thought, I can't handle these blows. And then I had opened the lines and said, you know what, I'm just going to use this as a medium for him, you know, just to shoot, do whatever he needs to do to get it out. And but if I do this, I promise myself boundaries. I'm not going to respond to the negative. I'm not, because that was my cycle, you know, because I was looking for that validation from him. And I realized kind of the commitment has come from, you know, I didn't need validation necessarily from him, but I'm not sure why.
I need you to get to the question,
because
I'm going
to
run out of time.
Sorry, why he's still in my life. What is surrounding it is what I'm saying. Like, why I'm still getting a no that this isn't finished, even though he is what you're explaining as toxic for me, is what I'm saying.
So your question is, why is this person?
Yeah, why, you know, what messages are you saying?
I think that he's in your life because he's a great distraction for you from you. And at this point in time, the spin and the way that the current, you know, kind of flow of your relationship is not nourishing. And that's the word that you need to put into your vocabulary, is nourishing.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that relationship with him or anybody else, you want to say, does this feel nourishing to me? Like when you eat that meal that tastes so good and
mm-hmm.
and you feel satisfied and not overfull and not like you just had like a bunch of junk food and then you feel empty afterwards. You know, he's kind of like Burger King for you right now, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
like you can
get
some attention, but then you're like hungry afterwards. That's not nourishing. So what you want to do with this situation is you want to pull away and you want to start to create. Ask for emotional and energetic independence, because the two of you are both codependent on the energy. It's like no energy is okay. You know, like negative energy, rather, is better than no energy whatsoever. So when you get to the point that you are in this such a spin, there's that pull, and you have to step back and say, if there's no nourishment here, it's time to move to a different direction. And that doesn't mean another person. That means to yourself.
Right.
I'm going to have to jump to the next person.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I apologize for having to cut you off, but I just, we're about to end. We're going to be coming close here. Okay, next we have Linda in Minnesota. Hi, Linda. Or no, Lindsay. Is that Lindsay? Okay, there we go.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. What's your question?
I actually have been going through like a severe crisis situation with my toxic, abusive boyfriend. And
uh-huh.
I realized that our relationship was abusive. I didn't even know I had all these abuse patterns, and so does he, from childhood. And
mm-hmm.
I started, like, separating from him and over 3 months ago and communicating this with him the whole time and, like, giving him the option to be the best. I have 4 children. The two youngest are with him, and they're 8 months and 2 years. And he basically just, like, lied to me. And I was a stay-at-home mom, and he made lots of money. And he lied to me and did not pay the bills, waited till I got an eviction notice and shut off on my electricity and stuff, and then left. And I've done a lot and got a lot of help, and I got October's rent paid, and I'm almost to November's. But my lease is about up, too. He did a lot to sabotage me, and I'm doing my best to get a job and stay together so I can don't have to move.
Okay, so what's the question?
Am I going to be able to make it, or should I, like, I feel like I focus my energy on the house or keeping the house, or should I, is it gone? Like, I need to get a job to keep the house, and I'm just, like, so...
Yeah,
you know, in that
have
state.
Stricken. And so let me just help you to back up. Okay. So,
thank you.
So first of all, the relationship at this point needs to be put on ice. You know,
it's gone. He left. He's in New York
so
now.
He's
he left.
Gone, and so you're not expecting anything on from his end. And I think you're doing
exactly
what
I can
exactly
hope, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing that you want to do from the conversation that we're having today, that, you know, is to start to ask to pull all of your energy back to yourself, okay? So that technique we talked about earlier on the show.
Yep.
That's number one, because that's going to really help to fortify you so you can have the wherewithal to make these decisions, because I understand you feel like really like your back is up against the wall. It does feel to me like you're going to be able to keep your house. And it feels like there's a source of income coming to you that you don't see yet. It's probably another, they're saying 7 to 21 days. So, you know, 1 to 3 weeks, you're going to start to see some resources and some help. Understand, Lindsay, that sometimes when you're in this situation, and I have a lot of empathy for you.
Thank you.
When you're in that spin like that, you're working mm-hmm. really hard. You're on, like, all your pistons are running at the same time, you know, and kind of, like, and you've got young kids
it's
involved.
Going back and forth between that and, like, complete hopelessness.
No,
and
no,
then, like,
there's no hopeless.
Yeah.
There's no hopeless.
I've had two bad days of that.
Yeah, I understand. But what you're doing is you're coming to the end of what you know how to do mentally, and this is where the idea of surrender comes in to allow in the new information. And this is for everybody listening. Sometimes when you get into a situation like what Lindsay's in, where your back is against the wall and it feels like you're at the end of the chain, you are at the end of what you mentally know how to do. And you need more information. You need more resources. So instead of praying for, can you save the house? Can I save the house? And how do I get more money? Start praying for helpful people, new opportunities, and a different point of view, okay? So pray a little differently. You're going to start asking a little differently. The guide you want to ask for, there's three guides, okay? So Archangel Michael for protection, Aracura. So it's A-E-R-A-C-U-R-A. Aracura is for emergency money for household situations.
Okay.
So that's Aracura, okay, Archangel Michael, Aracura. All right. And just trying to see if there was anybody else. Abundantia. Abundantia is like goddess Fortuna. She's the goddess of money and abundance. Lakshmi is also another goddess of money and abundance. You want to just ask them to step in and intervene. What you're needing now is an intervention of something beyond you. You have done everything.
Yes.
And that's where, call me and they're like, Mari, you got to tell me, I'm going to keep my hope. You know, and it's like, okay, stop. You know, breathe. You're at a point where what you're perceiving is true. Your mental mind is at its limit of know-how. Now,
yeah.
You got to pray differently for more information that can support you. Now, I have to end the show, so I'm going to have to go, but I hope that helps. And I'm wishing
you
all the best. And just call on those guys, and they will definitely be there for you. Okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lindsay. Good luck to you. All right, everybody. I can't believe it. We actually got to the end of yet another Aha Moments radio show. If you would like to talk to me one-on-one and get one of the last, I think it's 3 or 4 readings that we have now, www.ahamomentsworld.com/buythesea, buy the sea, buythesea. And I think that's it for tonight. We are going to be back this time next week. I believe Sandra Ann Taylor from Hay House is releasing a new book. She called me the other day. So we may be having Sandy on the show. I will let you know by email. In the meantime, please, please, please enjoy the rest of your week. And we end with my motto, which is you truly can have exactly what you want. You absolutely deserve it too. And in this energy, anything is possible. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the Aha Moments radio show with your host, Mari. Be sure to visit her blog and website at www.ahamomentsinc.com. That's A-H-A, moments with an S, inc.com. Also join Mari on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ahamomentsinc and Twitter at twitter.com/ahamoments. We can't wait to see you there.
Bye.